I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. I have two very solemn messages to deliver from this pulpit. I was struck this week in my own personal Bible meditation of the harvest of degeneracy and total and awful sin that we have revealed in the Word of God. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 18, we have the first harvest of the harvest of the fall of man. And we read in chapter 3 and verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. There is the first harvest of the fall of Adam. And when we turn over in our Bibles to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we read there in Revelation chapter 22, we read that there shall, in verse 27, and there, or 21 and verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's the final harvest of the fall of man. Thorns and thistles shall the earth bring forth to fallen man. Notice the touch of mercy that is mingled with the touch of wrath. Because it says here that thorns and thistles it will bring forth to thee. The ground takes the fullness of the curse and is the full object of God's judgment. Mark it well. Cursed is the ground because of man's fall. How merciful God is. The fallen Adam is a candidate for redemption, not for ruination. And even the woman whose hand broke the commandment of the thrice holy God, she too can be saved by the matchless grace of God. It was John Milton, the great Puritan poet of Commonwealth days, who wrote, from the bough she gave Adam of that fair enticing fruit. with liberal hand. He scribbled not to eat. Against his better knowledge, not deceived, but fondly overcome with female charm. Earth trembled from her entrails as again. In pangs and nature came a second groan. Sky lured and muttering thunder some sad drops wept at completing of the mortal sin. Original, while Adam took no thought eating his fill, nor Eve to enter it, her former trespass feared the more to soothe him with her loved society that now, as with new wine, intoxicated both of them. They swim in mirth and fancy that they feel divinity within their breeding wing, wherewith to scorn the earth. But that false fruit, far other operation first displayed, carnal desire inflaming, he and Eve began to cast his lascivious eye. She him was unwantingly repaid. Here is the sin that brought eternal death to the whole world, and the shadow of that sin is upon every person born into this earth. And the curse and finality of that sin, all who do not escape from the wrath to come through the blood of Christ, they will meet the death that that sin most certainly brings. Yawning graves open all over the earth and over every generation of man to receive the sinful bodies that are the direct result of Adam and Eve's sin. The grave did not greet immediately the corpses. There was a time when the temptress and her criminal husband did not really grasp what has happened. But as they were driven out of the garden, they learned that the heaven of joy was lost, that the sky of a fallen world was always dark, and that that fallen world had three parts. One, it was a natural world. Two, it was a social world. And three, it was a world that must come to a full and final end. The Lord Jesus Christ was very plain in this matter. He said, if the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. What is true of the social world is true of the religious world. I was struck this morning reading Hosea chapter 19. When you go home, read it in your Bible. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth, and from the womb, and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. The thorns and thistles will come up on their altars. The thorns and thistles of the religious world are most damning of all. The first Adam learnt that, and we, the second sons of Adam, must learn it too. We live in the world of the curse. And when we turn over every book of the Bible and come to the last book, the final revelation, we read that there shall in no wise enter into God's final and glorious city anything that defileth. Two defiled persons. A fallen wife and a fallen husband stood at a tree in the Garden of Eden. And the curse that God said would fall upon them, fell upon them. And in Revelation 21:27, we are told that nothing that worketh abomination will know the heaven of heavens. Nothing that's marked with the devil's trademark of a lie shall enter the city of God. Only those whose names are written in the book of life. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. All is death. All is damnation for the fall. King Solomon was right when he wrote the words, by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. No matter where you go in the world, go to the center of the world. Go to the farthest north and the farthest south. You will find something. A common growth. The growth of thorns and thistles abound. Trials are frequent. All around us are tried and tempted Christians. None of Adam's race can escape the scourge. Trials are universal. They penetrate the king's palace. They penetrate the banks where the money is. They make havoc of it all. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will be found out. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Listen to these words. God to Israel sows the seeds of affliction, pain and toil. These spring up and choke the weeds which would else o'erspread the soil. Trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring me to Christ's feet. Lord, lay me low and keep me there. We better remember the curse that has come. The terrible curse. The damning curse. The eternal curse. The unforgivable curse that seizes man because of Adam and Eve's fall. Observe three things in God's giving. He is not weary of giving. The springs of the mercy of God are ever running. God did not only dispense blessing in former years and ages, but he still gives gifts to us. The sun not only enriches the world with its morning light, but it keeps light for the meridian. The honeycomb of God's bounty is still dropping. God is not weary in giving. God delights in giving. In his holy book I read, he delighteth in mercy. As a mother delights to give the child the breast God loves, we should have the breast of mercy to our mothers. God gives to his very enemies. Who will send in provisions to his enemies? God does. Men used to spread nets for their enemies, but God spreads in grace a table for his enemies. The dew drops on the thistle as well as the rose. The dew drops of God's bounty takes away the curse from the believing soul. I picked up an old tattered book in my smut study this morning, and I read these words: God of thunder, from whose cloudy seat the fiery winds of desolation flow. Father of vengeance, that with purple feet, like a full wine press, treadest the world below. The embattled armies wait their sign to slay. nor springs the breast of havoc on his prey. Not withering famine walks his blasted way to love us marked the guilty land for woe. Has God marked you for woe or for salvation? Has God marked you for hell or for heaven? Has God marked you for darkness or eternal light? God of the rainbow, at whose gracious sign the billows of the proud their rage suppress. Father of mercies, at one word of thine, an Eden blooms in the waste wilderness. And fountains sparkle in the arid sands, and timbrels ring in maidens' glancing hands, and marble cities crown the laughing lands, and pillared temples rise thy name, O God, to bless. O Judah's land, thy thunders broke, O Lord. The chariots rattled o'er her sunken gate. Her sons were wasted by the Assyrian sword. Even her foes wept to see her fallen state. And heaps her ivory palaces became. Her princes wore the captive's garb of shame. Her temples sank amid the smothering flame. For thou didst ride the tempest cloud of faith. But thank God, through the grace of God, and by the covenant of God, those born in sorrow shall bring forth in joy. Thy mercy, Lord, shall lead thy children home. He that went forth a tender, prattling boy, yet ere he die to Salem's streets shall come. And Canaan's vines for us their fruit shall bear, and Hermon's bees their honeyed stores prepare. And we shall kneel again in thankful prayer, whereover the chariot-seated God full blazed the irradiate throne. Thank God, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My sins deserve eternal death. The place for me is the darkest hole of the terrible prison house of God. But to that hovel I will never go, or to that darkness I shall never set my eyes. Why? I'm hiding in thee, Lord Jesus. I'm hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages. I'm hiding. What are you going to do this morning? Go on down the road to hell? Or do a right about turn? And turn to the cross. And turn to the blood. and turn to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Around this world tonight and today, I see the sorrow. I see the darkness. I see the eternal hells burning. And I hear the cries of no hope, no peace, no pardon, no grace, no salvation. But I come to that hill somewhat arising. I come to an old cross where my Savior died. I come to a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And I hear a sweet, charming voice saying, come, for all things are now ready. I remember the day I did come. I remember the wonder of it, the thrill of it, the joy of it, the peace of it, the heaven of it. And thank God I passed out of darkness into eternal light. And I passed out of the shackles of hell to the freedom of heaven. I'm a child of mercy, a child of grace, a child of God. Tell me, are you? Is the blood in your heart? When I see the blood, says God, I will abide with you. God's looking for his Son's blood in your heart. Will he find it? Oh, come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us a way. Here in our midst, he's standing today. He's tenderly saying, come. No words of mine could describe the wonder of it all. To be Christ forever. To never be lost in the great dark prison house that opens its doors inwards but never opens them outwards. Oh, my friend, make sure that you're ready for the great eternity. For be sure, your sin will be found out, and in the finding out of it, your soul will be forever lost. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. O God, thine is a name my soul adores. The Almighty Three, the Eternal One. Nature and grace with all their powers. Confess that thou, the infinite, are unknown except by personal recognition. Oh, grant that no soul may leave this house without Christ. But everyone here will have the blood on their heart and God's peace in their soul forevermore. Hear this our cry for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.